Jesus, we love you so much. And God, what a privilege it is, Lord, to get to hear from your word. Lord, what a privilege it is to be in relationship with you, to know you, and Lord, not just to know you, but to be known by you. Lord, the fact that you know every one of our names and you call us by it, there's nothing sweeter than hearing our names spoken by one who loves us. And Father, I pray this morning that God, as we are talking about our identities and understanding who we are, Lord, that in the lives of the women in this room, God, that there would be a renewed sense of passion and purpose, Lord, for living out your plan, Lord, here on this earth. God, not our plans, not our agenda, but God, living out and accomplishing all that you have for us. Because God, what you have for us is bigger than anything we could ever even imagine. It's greater than the everydayness of our lives, that sometimes our lives feel small and maybe insignificant. But God, you have a great plan, a kingdom plan, Lord, to advance, Lord, your name, to make your fame great. And Lord, I pray that God, as we talk today, Lord, that our hearts would be open, Lord, that you would get our minds working so that we can live intentionally, live out the purposes that you have for us. We love you, Jesus, and we commit this time to you, Lord. Change us, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, like I said, I'm Kristen Yeldell, and I have the privilege of working here, being a student at Southern Seminary from 2001 to 2004, graduated in December. Like I said, met my husband here and got married in May of 2005. We've been married for 5 whole years. Woohoo! He took me on a cruise to celebrate, so I was like, this is a good thing. We have 2 kids that were both born here, and Mary Grace is going to be 4. In January, and she and I were talking the other day. I was tucking her into bed, and we were having a time to pray together. And we always read a Bible story before she goes to bed. And I was wanting to let her know that the next day when she woke up, Mommy would be gone, but Daddy would be here, and you get to spend really special time with Daddy playing the Wii. That's their thing. I just tell her Mommy doesn't know how, because I don't want to get stuck with playing the Wii all the time. But she has this Wii Princess game that she likes to play. That's the only thing she does, and only when Daddy's there, like once a month or something. So she was all pumped about playing the Wii, and she sat up and goes, well, where are you going? And I said, well, I'm going to Louisville for a couple of days to hang out with some big girls. She goes, Mommy, I know. I said, what? She goes, when you go to Louisville, you can go get our baby there. And I was like, what did you say? She said, when you go to Louisville, you can go get our baby. And I said, what do you make you think that the baby's in Louisville? And she said, we got Sissy there. And I was like, that's true. I was like, that is true. We did. And we got you there, too. We'll get this one in Tampa. Probably this one will come in Tampa, but that's all right. But I tell you, it's life is full and fun with little girls. The drama is high. We are never short on emotion in our house, or pink tutus or princess outfits all day long. But it was a real kind of a wake-up call to me when I worked at Boyce from 2002 right up until we moved. And I was full-time up until Abby was, oh my word, oh this thing. Okay, if I trip, y'all can laugh at me after you make sure I'm okay. I was full-time up until Abigail was born, and continued to teach classes over there in the Women's Studies program. And we moved to Tampa. All of a sudden, all of those things and these things that I had been known by and known for and had been doing and working hard were all stripped away, and I was just the worship pastor's wife. I was Eric's wife, which, don't get me wrong, Eric Yeldell, if you're going to be known as anybody, Eric Yeldell is one fine-looking man to be connected to. Like, he is the absolute best husband I could have ever hoped for, and way beyond my plans and things that I had thought would have been right and perfect for me. I am proud to be his wife. But I have lived my life busy. I like being busy. And I remember when I was in college, I'm going to back up a little bit here and just give you a little bit of my story about leading up to this. I went to Union University and was a college student there. And when I was there, I had gotten out of dating a guy for 2 years. I would not recommend that. I don't think you should do that. I think you could know after like 2 months. And if it's not going to happen, break up, move on, like, and it's okay. But no need to date for 2 years. But all that to say, I made the wrong choice. Dated for 2 years, and I came into college, and I was really broken inside. and was dealt with a lot of insecurities and felt like I had a lot I needed to prove. And so my way of dealing with my issues was I just got busy. And so I would volunteer for every organization I could be a part of. I signed up for every event that I could do. I was on this council and this leadership team, and I was singing in this worship band, and I was doing this at the church and that and the other, and traveling on the weekends doing Disciple Nows. All really good things. They're really good things. And yet the problem came because what I was using those for, I was using those good things, ministry things, as a way of making myself feel better about myself. And so whenever, I remember a lot of times when people would ask you a question, we were at Union, this was a big deal. People would go, how you doing? I'm just so busy. I'm so busy. Okay, that's not a real answer to how are you, okay? Because here's the problem by saying that I'm so busy. Underneath that line and underneath that phrase is this statement is really ultimately a heart of pride. To say I'm so busy basically says I am busier than you are. I've got more on my plate than you do. More people need me. I'm more important than you. I can ever even imagine. And there is that heart of pride underneath that statement of I'm just so busy. And my campus pastor was really talking with some of us about this one day, and I got really convicted about it. And not long after that, I was, I mentioned to you I'm married to a worship pastor, and one of the ways we got to know each other was through our music ministry at Highview Baptist Church, where he was on staff. And I was singing on the vocal team there. And so music has been a big part of our, is a part of our ministry together and has been up to this time. And I was singing a lot on the weekends, and during the weekend there was a retreat that we were part of, this worship band that I was singing, and in the middle of singing, there was a pop on my right side of my vocal cord, and there is no sound that came out. And went to the doctor and found out that I was hemorrhaging underneath the right side of my vocal cord. And the doctor said, you have got to stop. You can't keep singing. You can't even keep talking. And they put me on strict vocal rest for 6 weeks. It was awful. And it was so hard, first of all, to not be able to talk at all for 2 of those weeks. And the other 4, I was had to keep the talking at a minimum. And there was no singing. Okay, so what that doctor did was, in a matter of seconds, stripped away everything about my identity and that made me feel good and that gave me a sense of meaning and purpose, was all the stuff that I was doing. And God, in that time, in that season, the Lord used those things that he stripped away, literally stripped away, to bring me down to the basics, to say, who are you? Who are you apart from all the stuff, apart from all the busyness? And so we get bogged down in busyness. And and here's what I learned in that season. And there are kind of 2 basic principles that I want you to track with me about this morning. Here's the first one. How I spend my time reveals what I value. That's a biblical principle. Really, how we spend our time is a stewardship issue, isn't it? And how it says, where your treasure is, there your what? There your heart will be also. So we realize that what we, how we spend our time reveals what we really value. So if we spend a lot of time, I don't know, looking at InStyle magazines or shopping or sitting online looking at jcrew.com or Anthropologie or whatever, we're sitting online and that's all we do all day long is looking at stuff on clothes. What we really value is what? Clothes. If I spent all my time watching the Cooking Channel, and which I could probably stand to do maybe a little bit, at least a little bit, you know, or reading Rachel Ray or Paula Deen or whoever your favorite person is, well, what do I value? Cooking. If I spend, so how we spend our time reveals what we value. But there's something else I want you to think about this, and it's this. However, my value, my personal value, is not determined by how I spend my time. How I spend my time reveals what I value, but my value is not determined and not dictated by how I spend my time. And so what I want you to know is this. You are a child of God, a daughter of the King, created in his image to uniquely show his glory to the world. That is who you are. All the things in your life that you do, even how I am as a wife and a mom, that doesn't define who I am. Those are relational, very important relational priorities in my life. But who I am is I'm a child of God. And the value that we have is that which he gives us. And ladies, it is something unbelievably precious that He looks at us and He loves us. Your value doesn't come by what you do. And so that's a truth that I have had to remember as I have walked through this season, these various seasons of transition, where what I did was no longer what I was doing. And so therefore I'm like, well, who am I? If I'm not teaching at Boyce anymore, who am I? Okay, Kristen, you are still a child of God. You are still valuable for the kingdom. And if you may say, well, I'm not married. I don't have a husband. What can I do for the kingdom? I don't have any children. Or I am married and I have no children. What is my value? You are valuable and of great worth for the kingdom and in God's eyes. Our value is not determined by what we do with our lives. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ephesians 5. This is our key passage for the morning. And we are going to kind of use this. We're not necessarily going to pull apart the passage, but we're going to let it guide us in our conversation today. And if you look at Ephesians 5, and we're going to start in verse 15, and I'll read this for us. It says this, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." Look at that first phrase there, "Look carefully then how you walk." Look carefully, that is a picture, it is a reminder of us to intently look into something, to really stop, take time, and to really look into it and say, okay, God, what do you have to say there? When He says, look carefully, we're going to look carefully at this. We're going to intentionally take some time to think about it, because in our drive-through days that we've got, it is easy to kind of have a drive pass, a pass by on the things of God and on the scriptures of God, to kind of go through the drive-thru window, grab a scripture here, a devotional thought there. Thank you, Jesus. Help me today. Be glorified. Amen. And we're back on the road, right? Well, what He's saying here is take a moment and pause. Just stop. Just stop with the chaos. Stop with the busyness. Put your planner down. Put your phone away. Put your computer down. Look carefully. So here's what we're going to look carefully at. Determine who you are. Determine who you are. Understand your identity. Understand your identity. Your identity will determine your priorities. Your identity determines your priorities. Basically, who you are is that which determines what you do, not the other way around. You know, some people will say, well, who are you? Well, I'm a member of student council. I work at Starbucks. I go to this church. That's who I am. No, how we live, we need to have a reminder to live from the inside out, not the outside in. And so, again, that thing of what I do doesn't determine my sense of value or my purpose. And so what we're going to do today is we're just going to kind of deconstruct that and say, you've been living from the outside in. Think about who you really are. Well, firstly, we're a child of God. As a child of God, I know that I am a follower of Christ. I'm a Christ follower. I'm a daughter of the King. What are some other names, thinking through the scriptures, what are some other names that God would assign to you and to me as His children? Beloved. Oh, I love that one. Beloved. It's true. What else? Can you think of any others? Righteous. Yes. What else? What about co-heirs with Christ? Adopted. We who were once slaves are now free. We don't have to live in bondage anymore, but we walk in freedom. He says, you were in the darkness, and now we are children of the light. There are so many things over and over and over again, precious, beloved children. He goes on and has all these things. That is at the core of our being. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and have understood your sin before God and understand the cross work of Christ and what He accomplished on your behalf and mine, you are a child of God, His beloved ones. That at the core of who we are. Well, when we look at our identity, we think about it in terms then of relationship. So then as a child of God, my relationship is with who? The Father. As His beloved, He is our who? Our bridegroom. We look at Him as these things. Well, then there are other relationships in my life, though, that God has set as priorities for me. And so I know that I am also a woman. That is something that we are all have in common here. We all got the same stuff, right? Right? Okay. We all got the same stuff. So it may look a little different. My stuff, I guarantee you, looks a little different after having children. But anyways, you don't need to know about that. But we have a responsibility. And just as we cultivate our walk and our relationship with God, well, in thinking about God creating us as women, we have a responsibility to understand who we are in that. Well, in Genesis, it shows us that as a woman, God's created us to be helpers and life nurturers, influencers, like Mary talked about last night. And we're responsible to think about taking care of ourselves, of pursuing physical wellness, spiritual wellness, emotional and relational wellness. You can't take care of all the other people in your life if you are not taking care of yourself. Now, I'm not wanting to sound Oprah-esque, okay? I'm not saying, oh, all you need is to go take a bubble bath and, like, light some candles and look at a magazine. Like, I'm not talking about that. What I mean is, be mindful of things. So, if you find that you function better by getting up and maybe taking a 20-minute walk around your neighborhood in the morning, you need to do that. If you need to take a nap or go to bed earlier or take a nap while your kids are sleeping, or if you need to just pull away for a little bit of time so that your mind to have perspective, that is okay to do. Sometimes I think in Christianity we begin to think that if I'm taking care of my own needs, then that is unspiritual, and that is not the case. Now, when you become the primary goal of your focus, then that is out of balance. That is absolutely out of balance. If you are neglecting your husband or children and because you're taking care of yourself, you're having me time, that's out of balance. But when it works out with your husband's schedule and as it is appropriate for your other responsibilities in life, you need to take some time away. So we're responsible for those things. Another thing, who I am, though, I am a wife. I know I'm a wife. I'm married to Eric, and I'm thrilled to be so. And in my relationship with him, I'm called to be his helper, to help him advance the call that God has placed on his life, to help him move forward in that. And we're learning that in some really unique ways, and it's looking different, so much more different than I ever expected it would. This summer, his ministry assistant left quickly and kind of left a mess up in his office. And Eric's office is removed from the main office suite in our church. And so there's a man that was working with him, a young guy, who was his ministry assistant. And so it was totally on the up and up and appropriate, and integrity was pursued. But for him to have just any other woman, it's not that I don't trust my husband, I just don't trust other women. and we just said, you know, the best thing for me to do is for me to go and to help my husband. And so I am my husband's secretary 3 days a week. And I'm telling you, you know, that's the response. Like, and we were really like, oh man, this is going to be tricky. But I'm telling you, God, I have a gracious husband and a loving one, and I love him. And so we just work through our stuff and just deal with it. And I know that ultimately right now, I really am the best person that can help him, because I know what he needs. And I know what our ministry needs. Okay, if you had ever told me that I would have ever heard my husband say, hey, babe, can you make 50 copies of this piece of music? I'm like, yeah, right, that'll be the day. But I'm telling you, that's the best way I can help him right now. It's a season, and our children aren't neglected. Mary Grace goes to preschool, and Abby does the Mother's Day Out thing. They're right downstairs where I am. And thankfully, my boss is a little flexible with my schedule. So if I need to take some time, then I can go. But it's the way I can help him. There are other things that he needs me to do that maybe I don't love doing, but I know if it means helping him, then I need to rearrange my schedule in our day in order to do that. That's a priority. That is a relationship. That is a priority in my life and a role that I need to keep as high on the list there. Another one, what comes after being a wife is I'm a mother. Now, don't get it confused. When you have a child, being a mom doesn't trump being a wife. Your children need to know that your relationship with your husband is the most important thing. And say, precious little one, mommy loves you so much, but you're going to have to play in your seat for a little bit because daddy needs to talk to mommy, you know. And there are times where our kids are learning, mommy and daddy are having some table time and we're talking, and you two need to go play in the other room. Or you need to sit at your table and color, but don't interrupt mommy and daddy, you know. And my husband needs to know that he is the number one in my heart next to Jesus. So, but being a mother is a high priority in my life. It's higher than being here this weekend. But because my husband loves me and he values what God has given me to do and called me to do, he says, it works out great because my day off is on Thursday and I don't have to work Saturday. And Mimi and Poppy came up Friday, took him to Build-A-Bear, you know. It all worked out great. So all I'm saying is, our children need to know that they are loved and cared for, that they are not less important than the church or the women's ministry or the other things. But our goal there is in caring for and discipling our children. Another role that you and I probably all would live out is that of daughter and sister. Being a daughter, we are all somebody's daughter. Every one of us is. And we have a goal that we're to honor our father and mother. And we need to love and invest in our family. How many of you are students? This is your season of life as a student. This is a hard season of life because, and I want to tell you this, students, it's a season, okay? You need to embrace this season for all that it is because there will not be a time in your life where you will come back and ever live anything else like this. Those of you who've been there before, am I right? It is a season, but it's a glorious season, one that you should live. And when you get to the end of graduation, when you go, they call your name and they're like, Emily Yvonne, and you walk up and you shake the hand, get the diploma, smile, and then you walk off. You need to look back at the last 4 years or six or however long it took you to get out and go, I have no regrets with how I spent my time. Because this was a season of being a student, I have no regrets about that. Can I tell you, that has been a burden, a heart passion for me for every season of life. When I didn't get married till I was 26, and I remember thinking, I don't think I'm going to be single forever. I mean, I hoped I wasn't going to be, but I didn't know. But I thought, if it's a season, I want to make sure that I've maxed every opportunity that I have. And so if you and I are constantly looking to the next thing, Mary talked about this when she's talking about Proverbs 7, about that wild woman, how it said that she laid in wait and she just kept watching for the next thing. If you are constantly watching for the next thing, you are never going to be able to live fully today doing and accomplishing what God's given you to do. As a student, that is the case where you need to be able to get to the end of your schooling, when you get your diplomas, look back, God, I have no regrets with how I spent my time. I maxed out my resources. God, thank you for that. Some things that you need to complete your assignments on time. Be diligent in the season. As a friend, I guarantee you, every one of us carries that one. We're all friends, right? We got at least one friend. At least one person that we could call friend, right? Well, we need to think not only to our needs, but sometimes to the needs of others. We need to look past ourselves and be mindful of them. You're a church member. I hope and pray you are a church member. As a church member, your attendance at church and your time in worship and service and in your tithe should be a priority for you. Because here's the thing, Christ died for the church. Yes, he died for you and for me, but he died for the church. And when you were saved, we were not just saved from our sin and only to live on our own. We were saved from our sin into a body of believers. You need to be a part of a local church, and you should be spending your time there in some area of ministry, taking the giftings God's given you and then pouring it back into the body. I don't know what that looks like. It may be children's ministry. It could be you volunteer as a greeter. It could be in the music ministry or student ministry. I don't know. There are prison ministries, and there are women in prisons that need to know the love of Jesus. So you think, I don't know what else to do. You can go and sit with a woman and just tell her that Jesus loves her. And I'm telling you, that would be an amazing thing for that woman. Well, with these things, we think about who we are, the roles that we live out, and the relationships in our lives. These help to determine our priorities. This is how we begin to live God's priorities for our life. That's the starting point. Who am I? And what in relationships, God, have you given me in my life? So you start there and then move on to the next step of developing either a life mission statement or adopting a life verse. Now, in ministry, we would not have a ministry without having a mission statement of some kind. I just stepped in as the director of our women's ministry at our church back in September. And 2 weeks ago, we had our big event to lay out our new ministry plans, our new Bible study format, all of these new things. And one of the first things we did before we planned anything else was I sat down with a couple of ladies and we talked and we prayed through what are our core values. As a ministry, what do we want to have that guides us? And so we came up with three things. And we know that as a women's ministry, we exist to reach women with the love of Christ, to see hearts refreshed through meaningful relationships, and to see our minds renewed through the study of God's Word. So we've got the three R's: reach, refresh, renew. And when I was sharing this with our women's ministry, I was letting them know, we are not going to do anything if it doesn't fit in one of these three things, because this is our core purpose. The same is true for how we live as individuals. We need to come up with what are our core values, our core purposes for living. And of a passage that God has really, oh my lands, y'all, I am so sorry. This is like supremely awkward. Can I just say, I need, wait, maybe, hold on, I think I got it. I stick in my boot. That's what I need to do. The passage that God really has used in my life, and it's a simple one, it's Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. That has been a passage. I don't know what God would lay on your heart. It could be an actual mission statement. My life exists to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Or it could be a verse that God really uses. But when we think about that, we have a life mission statement or a life verse, then we need to set some goals. And we need to have smart goals. You need to think smart. Here's what I mean. S is a goal, it should be specific. A goal that you have should be specific. It shouldn't be like, I want to love Jesus more. Okay, we all want to do it. How do you want to love Jesus more? You can say, I want to cultivate my walk with the Lord by spending 30 minutes a day with Him 5 days a week at least in His Word. Or I want to cultivate a relationship with the Lord this season by reading through the Psalms, and in addition to my other Bible study. It should be specific. It also should be measurable. A goal should be measurable. It should also be attainable. Sometimes when we say, you know what? I want to memorize the entire book of Romans by next Tuesday. Is that really attainable? I mean, maybe. But think realistically, okay? Think realistically about things. Well, something that should be attainable. It should be something that's not so far up here that you have to, like, put your Superman cape on to, like, go get it. What I mean is, but it shouldn't be, like, down here where it doesn't challenge you. It should be something just a step beyond where you're actually at. So let's think with, like, tithing. With tithing, let's say if you give, currently you're giving 5%. Well, maybe you could say, okay, for the next month, I'm going to try giving 8% of my income in there. I'm going to try giving just a little bit more than what I normally do. It's just taking that next step of there. It should be attainable. You could probably do that. Give an extra 3% over your tithe. You could do that. It should be attainable. It should also be reasonable. That's very similar to attainable. It should be reasonable. Avoid the ridiculous. Keep it reasonable. And T, it should be time-oriented. Well, Ephesians 5 says this, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise. There's a lot of unwise ways we could spend our time. A lot of them. What are some time fillers, wasters, things that people, not you personally, I'm sure, this is not, doesn't have to be confession hour, but what are some time fillers or wasters that people experience?
Facebook.
That was almost, let's just all say it together on a count of three. One, two, three. Facebook. That's right. Facebook. That was hilarious. It's almost like we planned that. Facebook. I know. You sit there, go and think, I'm just going to check on my wall real quick. I'm just going to, all of a sudden you're like, oh, she's in a relationship with who? What? Oh, they broke up. Oh my gosh. You know, and we're looking at all these things, and we're looking at people's, and we're becoming Facebook stalkers, and we're like going through all their pictures and their photo albums of people we don't even know. Like, I'm all for Facebook. I like it, and I think it really could accomplish a great purpose of helping us to stay connected. But when it controls your time, and it, when after a while you realize, you're like, oh my word, 2 hours have gone by. And my house still is dirty. I haven't folded any of my laundry. And oh my, I've just been tossing goldfish to my kids. That's a problem, okay? That is when Facebook is out of control. Like, Facebook is definitely one of those. What are some other things that are time wasters, time fillers?
TV.
And it's gotten worse with DVR. Yeah. Like, because DVR now is like, well, I just don't watch TVs like the shows when I'm not there. But now, oh, don't worry, I can watch them when I get home. And then you've got like 8 hours of television to catch up on. You got to catch up on it, right? Yeah, TV. What else? I don't even know about all that.
The games on Facebook.
The games on Facebook. Yeah. Yeah. Kids like, okay. All right. Yeah. Farmville on Facebook. It's true. What else? What are some other things? Taking a nap? Sometimes. Let's talk about taking a nap. Let's talk about that because that's a good point. Here's the thing. I worked at Boyce. I love the students at Boyce. Kim, you are a student at Boyce. I love Boyce. Students at Boyce. Love them. But this used to kill me. And we'll just blame it on the guys. We'll just keep it relegated to the guys' dorm, okay? They would roll out. And my office was down in the patio room, which is like their hangout, like a central location. They would walk through, and they'd be like this. At 10 o'clock in the morning. And they still have their pajamas on. I'm like, go put your pants on. Like, oh, you can put normal clothes on. And they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. And I'd say, why are you so tired? And they'd say, well, I was up writing a paper till like 6 in the morning. And I'd say, well, how long did you know your paper was due? Well, I got my syllabus at the beginning of the semester. And then I'd say, well, what were you doing before that? Well, we got some guys were playing video games at 10, and we were having this tournament, you know, whatever they were playing, not Nintendo, what did they do, Xbox? Or I don't even know now. And then they'd end up playing a tournament, you know, on video games from 10 to 2, and then they'd be like, oh, I guess I should start on my paper now that's due tomorrow at 11, you know. Here's the thing with naps. If you're not getting that, if you're tired because of legitimate reasons, because you have worked to make good choices along the way, by all means, you should take a nap. My college professors tell me that sometimes a nap is the most spiritual thing you can do. Because we just need to take, even a 30-minute power nap is helpful. But when the naps start to take over and push aside all other, and it's their result of unwise choices, well, just start making wise choices and go to bed earlier. Like, that's I think. So I'm with you on the nap, but there's a couple sides. Anything else that is a time waster? Shopping. Yeah, could be when we're just wandering. I will confess, I love some Target. I know, and I have to watch, though. Like, I have to watch to make sure. Thankfully, my kids don't let me stay in there very long. But when I'm by myself, I can definitely waste some time in Target. Get you Diet Coke and a pretzel. A good trip. There's anything else you can think of? Reading? Yeah. Yeah, could be. What's that?
Eating.
Yeah. Oh, man. Those are dealing with some things, too. Now we're getting into things that, like, we use as, like, not just time fillers, but heart fillers that we go to look for comfort and satisfaction and ultimately leave us feeling more frustrated and discouraged, don't they? And you're like, why did I eat that whole pizza by myself? Or I really probably should not have, just because the light was on at Krispy Kreme, I should not have eaten the whole dozen. You know, because sometimes what pushes us to that is filling our time and trying to fill our hearts with it is through what we fill in our stomachs, and ultimately we end up discouraged, and it's a cycle. Well, there are some things that I want to tell you about that are mentioned to you just to think about that are unwise uses of our time. The first one's procrastination. I'm sure none of you are procrastinators, so we can just skip over that, right? No. Okay, procrastination is a problem because we need to think about planning ahead, which leads to the next one, poor planning and scheduling. One of the things that we used to say in class, and I know that the students loved it, was I'd say, your failure to plan on your part does not constitute an emergency for me. I gave you the syllabus at the beginning of the semester, right? But it's the same thing. Sometimes because we fail to plan, we make other people pay for our poor choices. Other people should not be held responsible for your poor choices in planning. And when it affects other people, you really need to stop and think about it. Poor planning and scheduling. Again, poor use of the phone or social media outlets. Improper delegation. One of the things to ask when you are given a task or if you're in charge of a ministry event or something that's going on, you need to think about delegation. Who else can be a part of this team? Who else can help me do this? Because how many of you have ever thought the phrase, well, if you want something done right, you just got to do it
yourself?
I have thought that before, and it is a destructive way of thinking. It is absolutely destructive because, number one, it doesn't involve others and give them the opportunity to help you in your event and to live out their giftings, which they may be uniquely gifted for that particular task. That is a total drudgery to you, but may really be totally energizing for them. Pull people in, and it also lifts it off your plate. Improper use of delegation. We need to make sure we do that. Also, our priorities are out of whack. When our priorities get out of whack, then we begin to live very unwisely. That's where we begin to let all of the outside circumstances determine, again, who we are inside and what we choose to do. So when our priorities get out of whack, all of life will get turned upside down. And it is really difficult. That is unwise use of our time. And the next final thing here is prayerlessness. Prayerlessness is an unwise way of living. Unwise use of our time. You may think, well, I just don't have time to pray. You know what? You may not. So that means we need to get some, that's where our priorities are out of whack. Prayer is one of the greatest ways that we can cultivate our relationship with the Lord. And sometimes it is an ongoing conversation in our heart and mind as we are going throughout the day. Sometimes maybe you're a journaler and you like to write things out. You keep a prayer journal. Or maybe you need to physically get on your knees before the Lord and have. I had a friend who gave me a pillow, and I had an intern at a church, at her church this one summer, and we were prayer partners over the summer. At the end of the summer, she gave me a pillow, and I was like, thanks, that's really nice. And she said, this is your prayer pillow. And I was like, my prayer pillow? And she said, yeah, so put it under your knees when you're praying, so that way you can stay on your knees longer. I was like, oh, you're such a good friend. Because I would never have thought about that. Because I'm thinking, that doesn't really match my stuff on my bed, but whatever. And she's so much more spiritual than I am. But thinking about prayerlessness, we don't have time not to pray. And that is not an original thought with me. But you and I don't have time to not pray. We've got to do that prayerlessness. So again, look carefully at how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. You know, this whole weekend we're talking about being wise women and living in wisdom, being wise versus being wild. How do you live wisely? How do you make wise use of the time? Well, there's something that has been helpful for me in thinking about this, and that's to live intentionally, not reactionary. Live intentionally, not reactionary. Okay, living intentionally is this. We step back and we say, okay, who am I? We think about our identity. And then we set our goal. Understand our core values and have a scripture, a mission statement that really helps to guide our life. And then we say, out of knowing that who I am, knowing the heart passions God has given me, how do I live this out specifically in my everyday life? And so this way, when you know these things to be true, you can make choices based, when opportunities come your way, you can make the right choices for your life and in your place in advancing the kingdom. And so this way, you say, you know what? I really love and I am really passionate about working with children. I love working with children. And so maybe one of your missions in life is to see the next generation understand and taught the Word of God. Okay, so let's say that's your goal. If you're living intentionally, you would say, out of knowing that passion to be true, where can I best serve in the local church? And so you go to your preschool minister or you go to the children's ministry director and you say, I have a heart passion. Where do you have a way you can use me? Here's my passions. Here's my giftings. Tell me your needs. What can I do to help? Again, go back to this, teaching the Word of God to the next generation. And so then you live and you find a meaningful place of service in the children's ministry. Now, reactionary living, though, says, man, I guess I really need to serve somewhere in church. I guess so. And you get your bulletin, maybe, or your worship guide, and you're looking at it, and it's like, oh, they need somebody in the media department. Well, I guess I can run PowerPoint. And so you're sitting there, and you're messing up the screens, and nobody knows what to sing in church, and the pastor's points are all skipped around, and you're frustrated, and the people around you are frustrated because you can't do your job. Well, maybe that's because you just saw a need and said, well, I guess I can meet it. Without taking into context and into consideration, who are you, what are your giftings, and what are your heart passions in life? Take into consideration those things and live intentionally. It will save you so much frustration and so much, more hair will stay on your head that way. Okay? And you won't eat as many Krispy Kreme donuts because you won't be as frustrated. One of the things that I here's an example of this. I am not really, I don't really love children's ministry. Okay? I'm going to be honest. Like, that is not just confession time. I'm Kristen, and I don't really feel called to children's ministry. But one of the things that came up was, and I was looking for a way to serve in our new church, and they needed someone to do the music for VBS with the elementary age kids. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. I don't have anything else going on. So that sounds great. I'll do that. So I signed up to do music for VBS. Those kids drove me crazy all week long. And so, thankfully, by the Spirit of the Lord, He worked through my weaknesses, and we had a great week, and it all worked out well. But I'm telling you, at the end of the day, I was exhausted. I was, and not happily so. I was frustrated with some of the kids and, in turn, some of their parents. You know, like, I was, and I ended up in this place, and then I ended up getting short with my husband, and I was a little snappy with my kids, and the things that I was passionate about doing and working with women and serving my husband in the worship ministry totally got put to the back burner. Now, I'm not saying you, if you don't love kids, you shouldn't serve in VBS. You definitely should. But there is a situation, there's a time where just because there is a need, that does not necessitate God's call for your life. Reactionary living says if there's a need and I'm a warm body, I guess I should fill it. That's not the truth. I promise you, live out of your purposes. And there will be seasons where you need to do things that are not necessarily your passion. An example of this would be at our church. We went to our church, and there are a lot of needs there. There are a ton of needs. And one of those was in my baby, Abby, in her Sunday school class. They didn't have a woman volunteering in that class each week. Well, you can't have one man in with the kids. It's not that I didn't trust that man. It's not wisdom says don't do that. And I knew that our preschool director was having a really difficult time finding somebody to serve in this class with this man. And I realized at this season of my life, my priority as a mother is to serve in my child's class. And so I changed this stinky diapers to other kids. I can handle my kids. Others are a different story. But I'm telling you, every Sunday I got up and I was like, Lord, because I love my children, and because I love your children, I know you've called me to serve and to meet a need in this preschool class. And so I did that for 10 months. And I'm telling you, that was a really challenging thing for me. But I kept looking at Abby and going, I love her. I love her more than anything else on this planet. I love her more than the old ladies who I could be going to teach Sunday school class to. And I want to see that she isn't taken care of. And I know that they do have a need. And because of my calling as a mother, and to meet a need and minister in my child's class, that trumped all other priorities. Do you see the difference there between my VBS serving? Because sure, that sounds like fun, I could do it. And I love my child. There's a need in her class. And I can and I need to meet it. I should meet that. So living intentionally requires this. Each day, we need to plan daily. Living intentionally each day requires planning daily. The Life Application Bible says this: planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Worrying about tomorrow is time wasted. Oh, guilty. Sometimes it's difficult to tell the difference. Careful planning is thinking ahead about goals, steps and schedules, and trusting in God's guidance. When done well, it can help alleviate worry. The worrier is consumed by fear and finds it difficult to trust God. The worrier lets his plans interfere with his relationship with God instead of the other way around. Don't let your worries about tomorrow affect your relationship with God today. Planning for tomorrow, planning daily, taking time each day is time well spent, ladies. Here's some practical things. This is like we're getting real practical down to the nitty-gritty here. And before I say this, I have not gotten this all figured out. I am still really working it out. But one thing that has been helpful and is to keep one calendar and write things down. It may be maybe you keep your calendar on your phone. Maybe you have a day timer. Maybe you have one big calendar on your refrigerator that's like your family calendar. It's like Command Central. But keep one calendar. My brother used to make me laugh because he would have like four different calendars. He'd be like, oh, dude, how did I forget that? I'm like, oh, because it was in the other four calendars ago that you had. Like, and so now he's wise up and he's a smart 25-year-old and he's got one calendar, you know. I never understood like having multiple calendars. Keep one, or what I used to do in school, this is a student tip, okay? When I was in school, I would get, when you get your syllabi at the beginning of the semester, sit down, print out those little sheets on your that the computer will print out with the calendar with a month at a time, and I used to take a colored pen for each class, and I would write my assignments down when they were each due for each class. So I knew hot pink meant intro to Christian ethics. If I knew my blue pen was theology, I knew that the green pen was Greek, you know, and I would write down my classes as I went along the way. So I did keep a separate schedule, and if I knew I had big things like, okay, we have a big retreat at Boys this weekend, I would highlight that so I could know and I could plan ahead. But it took me sitting down one day and actually planning it all out. So in that case, I had two calendars. I had more like a social ministry one and then I had a school one. But in general, keep one calendar and write things down. Again, write it down. Not on a random receipt or a napkin or a tissue. Like, write it down in your calendar. So that's one thing. Another one is to prepare for the morning the night before. Prepare for the morning the night before. And one thing that will help you do that is to have a designated place to put things as you're going out the door. So if you have just one spot that you can drop your keys, your purse, your coat, and maybe anything else if you've got, I don't know, so you got dry cleaning. You put your dry clean down there. Or if you've got some things and you need to take some stuff to the Salvation Army, put it right there. So that way, when you're up the next morning, you can go out the door. Okay, how many of you, in planning the night before for the next day, used to lay your clothes out when you were little for school the next day? My mom used to laugh at me because what I would do is I would lay it down as if I could, like, lay down, and it would just somehow like morph itself onto. I would lay down like my shirt, my pants, my shoes, my socks, and if I was wearing something in my hair, whatever went on my hair would go there. And she used to laugh at me, but she taught me that. So she gave me all her weird things, yeah, her quirks. That's what it is. But anyways, but it's helpful though, isn't it? To go ahead, make the decision the night before, because one of the things that is a big distractor in the morning is we begin to second guess what we're wearing, don't we? And we can laugh about it, but ultimately, when our focus begins stuck on the outside, and we're so consumed with what's going, with what we're wearing, and how are people going to perceive me, and all these different things, that pulls away from time that you could be spending with the Lord. Make the decision the night before. You try it on by all means. Make sure it looks good. You feel good about it. Lay it out and live with the decision. Okay? You will have time with the Lord then and to do the other things that you need to do. Here's another one. Establish routines. Establish routines. Developing good Godward habits will help us to be more likely to do the things that He wants us to do and that ultimately that we will want to do. If you get frustrated about, I just can't spend time with the Lord, I mean, I'm so frustrated with my quiet time, do the hard work to establish a routine. So maybe if your best time of the day is in the first thing in the morning, let's say, have a routine. Know every day, even maybe on Saturdays, to say, I get up at 7, I have a cup of coffee, maybe you take your shower, and then after that, maybe with your robe on or whatever while your hair's dry, I don't know. But then sit down and spend time in the Word. And every day, when we do these things, routine's helpful. You know, routine is something that children need. Children need routine. They need a predictable schedule. They need to know what's coming next because it gives them security. We're not unlike that. We need routine, and we need to know what to expect. We need to know the next thing. What's the next thing to do? Develop a routine and good Godward habits. And then nextly, in planning daily, determine the best time of the day for you to get certain things done. When are you most physically able and mentally alert? Okay, I'm going to tell you, in this season of my life, the first time thing in the morning is not the best time for me to spend time with the Lord. It's just not, because my kids get up pretty quickly. And being pregnant now, I've been extremely tired and really worn down. And the mornings are just not the best time. But 2 o'clock at nap time is really good. And so I just, for my day, that is what works best for me. You know your day. Now, ideally, it would be wonderful if we got up and started our day with the Lord. That is the, honestly, that's the ideal. But I don't want you to feel defeated or bogged down if that doesn't work out for you. God just wants to spend time with you. He wants to know that you're making an effort to get into His Word, that you're telling Him you love Him. There can be other ways that you can do this. Maybe the night before, maybe that, what I had a friend of mine does is, she's a mom of 3 little ones, and her husband's a minister, and their life is full. She will spend time with the Lord during nap time in the afternoon with her when her kids are asleep. And what she does is she keeps a little note card thing, and she writes down the main points that from her Bible study that she read. She keeps that next to her bed, so when she gets up in the morning, she reads it, refreshes her mind, refreshes her heart with it, and then she goes on. So there is something in her mind that is setting her heart and her mind Godward. For you, it may be listening to a podcast while you're getting ready in the morning, or it could be listening to praise and worship music, maybe songs that sing scripture. I don't know what it is, something that would, in the first time of the day, set your mind and your heart Godward, and then you determine the best time of the day to get things done. The same is true, not just with your relationship with the Lord, but with all other things, like taking care of your home, or doing schoolwork, sitting down and making and doing your planning for the week. All those different things determine the best time of the day. And then finally, here's another thing about planning daily. Break things down into small pieces. Break it down into small pieces. So that's with if you have a big project ahead of you, it may look like, good grief, how am I ever going to clean out every closet in my house? How can I ever do that? Well, you think, take it one closet at a time, or one part of the closet at a time. So today, I'm going to focus on my shoes. I have 10 minutes. I can focus on my shoes, okay? And I just organize and take out everything I've had that I don't wear over the last year, and I just clean it out, you know? Break it down into small pieces. Make it bite-sized. Here's the next thing you need. Not just plan for planning daily, but also planning weekly. And I'll go quicker here because I know we are about out of time. Cleaning. We need to determine. I would encourage you to get a plan for cleaning. Get a plan for that. Determine and decide. On Mondays, I am going to dust and vacuum. On Tuesdays, I will tackle the bathrooms and mop the floors. On Wednesdays, I will change the linens. And you do, side note, you really need to change the sheets on your bed. Like, that's just an important thing. It's just this. You can't turn them inside out either. Like, that doesn't really accomplish. Take them off. Wash them. Sorry, funny story. There's a girl, a boy, several years ago. This is a number of years ago. None of you would even know her. She was telling me about doing her laundry, and she was talking about how good her laundry smelled. I said, oh, that's great. Well, I'm always wanting to know what, you know, good smell in laundry. And I said, what are you using? And she was telling me, and, you know, she had been washing her clothes with fabric softener for like the whole year. I was like, oh, precious. I'm going to take you to the store. We're going to get you some laundry detergent, okay? She's like, what? So anyways, all that to say, determine a schedule for when you can do those things that maybe you don't love to do. But again, if we develop a routine with it, you will do that. Also, it's important to plan your meals out for the week. I don't love this task, and I hate the grocery store. But I know I really have to sit down Monday afternoons, and I've got to sit down, and I'm doing my best to do the coupon thing. And that is hard. Oh, it's hard. But I'm trying to be a good steward of our money. And sit down and determine what, some people will even look and see what's on sale, and then they will make their meals for the week out of that. You can do that. You can go online with different help. Some websites will even plan your meals for you if you want to do that, which is kind of nice. But sit down. You've got to have a time to sit down, plan your meals, because otherwise, if we don't plan our meals and plan ahead, you will be wasting a ton of money. Because you will say, well, I just don't have any food in the pantry, And I don't have the things to make this particular thing, so I guess we're just going to have to eat out again. And you will find yourself perpetually eating out, eating out. Now, I love eating out. I love it. And I really do, okay? But I know, again, a priority for my husband, he likes for us to eat at home about four times, just at least four nights a week. And with our schedule, that's doable. That's attainable. We really work towards that, to try to eat at home four nights a week. Some of you may say, no, you should eat at home every night. You do that, you determine what's best for your family. That's what's best for ours, four nights a week. So I work really hard to bless my husband by planning ahead, because I know it's important to him. I know he really values us eating at home. And so that is some of the things we've got to sit down, plan your meals, plan your, and then go to make one grocery trip a week. Planning monthly is another thing we've got to do. If you want to go on a mission trip, or if you're wanting to be a part of a particular conference like this one, something that would require extra money, or something, anything that's out of the ordinary, we've got to plan ahead, plan monthly. Again, I mentioned about writing papers. You know, get your calendar, your syllabi, and then make the plans and figure out ahead of time and get a writing schedule, get a reading schedule. There's a book you're wanting to work your way through, and you say, you know, I'd really like to read maybe two books a month. Maybe that's one of your goals. I'd like to read two books a month, or maybe just one book a month. Maybe say, okay, I'm looking at my month. I know what's going on, and maybe this particular month is going to be a little bit more difficult to get that reading done. But I can always do this, and here's a way you can accomplish these things. Always keep something to do with you. Always keep something to do with you in your purse or on your phone or something to do with you. We also need to plan yearly. Planning yearly, we need to live intentionally. We do this. We plan out birthdays of important family and friends. Write out the due dates for your bills, when your bills are due. When your paychecks are received, you need to make sure that that's all taken care of. When you get a paycheck in, is the bill due just the day before you get a paycheck? That's a problem. Could be. Or if you've been able to plan it out, plan for your tithe, plan all these things out. Determine your doctor's appointments. When do you want to take a vacation? When do you want to go visit family? We need to sit down and go through a yearly calendar and have a planning time. Well, I'm sure these things are, to most of you, are not anything new or, you know, life-altering or changing. But if we don't intentionally live our lives, that which lacks intentionality will lack stability. Does that make sense? It will lack longevity. And so if you're wanting to intentionally, if you know who you are, and if you know what your core purposes and passions are as an individual, if you don't intentionally plan for those things, then we will be like that wild woman in Proverbs 7 where it says her feet are never at home. And we're running around doing everything else but that which God gave us to do. There are things, when you're considering a ministry opportunity, Liz Curtis Higgs gives five questions to ask, and I've added one at the end. Here are five questions to ask before committing to a task. Number one, will this activity matter 1 week from today? Will this activity matter 1 week from today? 1 month? 1 year? Will it matter? Number two, is there someone else who does this task better than I do to whom I might delegate it? That takes putting pride aside, realizing that you are replaceable, which we all are, and recognizing and appreciating God's work in the lives of those around us. And that's a freeing, freeing thing to do, to realize that there are other people who are gifted in ways that you and I are not. It's freeing, I promise. Number three, does it satisfy a heart need for me or someone I love very much? That's where it goes to when I mentioned about working in Abby's class. That satisfied a heart need for her because I needed to be in that class. She needed me there. Number four, what are the ramifications if I don't do it? It's helpful to think through those things. Number five, what are the outcomes if I do? And then number six, this is my addition, how will this task help my husband? Will it help him or will it hinder him? Does he feel this advances God's mission for our family? These are some things that we need to ask ourselves. So when you're asked to do something, I would encourage you this, never answer yes right away. I was telling Jay this, that when I got the email about coming, I almost immediately was like, absolutely, I'll do it, of course. And then I was like, wait a minute, delete. Better talk to my husband about this first. I really probably should pray about it too, you know? And so when, never answer yes right away, but stop and think through and ask some helpful questions here. Again, I want to remind you to do something. A need does not necessitate God's call on my life. If we believe, live that way, we'll live reacting to life, all day long rather than intentionally. All I am responsible to do is the work that God has given for me to do. Nancy Lee DeMoss says this. She says that there is time for me to do everything that is on God's to-do list for my day, for my week, and for my life. And in that, we follow Jesus' example in choosing to live wisely. Jesus said at the end of his life, he said to the Father, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Jesus did not live out of the disciples' priorities for his life. Jesus didn't live out of the Pharisees' priorities. And we know he didn't live out of his mama's priority for his life. Do you remember that? When his mom, he lived out of God's priorities for his life. He lived out God's prayer. He said, I have accomplished the work which you gave me to do. Be mindful when we know that something needs to give in your life, when you live in a constant state of frustration, when the most important relationships in your life are suffering, and you're thinking, man, I just feel so distant from God. Why do I not feel closer to him? Or, man, my husband and I have not been on a date in a long time, and I just don't feel like we're connected. We are not meshing. Maybe we're not just meshing, but we're butting heads. Or why am I snapping at my kids? I'm so impatient with them all day long. Something's got to give. And you step back, think about it, and go, okay, Lord, what am I doing? What is on my plate right now that you did not give me, but that I just grabbed? And we need to think about that. There's something you've been given a sheet. Can I see that real quick? Here we go. And this is a priorities planning sheet. And this is something that I want you to think about, to take home. And this is for you to work on. When you think here, think about your relationship with the Lord. We mentioned about yourself, your family, and your friends. And think about this and think about what is the biblical objective, what is God's plan as stated in his word for you in regards to those relationships. And write that down here. And then think, so if my relationship with my friends is to love my neighbor as myself, or to, when the scripture says, to think not only of your needs, but also to the needs of others, how can I do that for my friends? Well, one practical way, I can remember their birthdays. I can send her a card. I can send one card a week out to a friend. I can, and you put specific goals, remember, be smart about it, but specific goals that you want to do that, and then plans to implement. How can you live out those goals? And then I left you a blank spot here. So if there's another thing, if you are actively involved in your church or in ministry, to think through your ministry and your living out your goals and your priorities there. Ladies, here's the last thought I want to leave you with. Live out of God's priorities for your life, and not just your own and not everybody else's. I promise you, everybody else will have a plan for your life. Everybody will have an idea as to how you should spend your time. The one plan that matters is God's and God's alone. If we live in such a way that we live out of his priorities for our life, he will be glorified and his kingdom will be advanced. Amen?
Yes.
Let me pray for you and we'll be done. Jesus, thank you so much for the precious friends that are in this room today. God, I pray that you would help us to make the changes that we need to make to more effectively live out your plans for our life, Jesus. And Lord, ultimately be a part of your plan, God, in making your name known. Bless them today. Continue to speak to our hearts. For it's in your name I pray. Amen.